Good morning. The scripture today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. You have heard that the law says the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God.
We all say we want to have a blessed life, but what does that really mean? Is it simply having a nice car, a big house, new clothes? What if a blessed life isn't what you think? What if it's more about what you give away than what you hold on to? What if it's more about the contents of your heart than the contents of your bank account? How do we really live the blessed life?
We're in a series on that famous sermon Jesus gave on a mountainside called the Sermon on the Mount. And last week began to look at the way the rabbi teacher from Nazareth began to look at the Jewish law book, which he accepts and he upgrades. And so in Jesus' school of teaching, we learned that the upgrades of Jesus were a way to address the Ten Commandments and make them a little more, let's say, edgy. So that commandment, do not murder, from Exodus 20, Jesus deals with the anger beneath the murder and even says that you can hate somebody and that's a form of murder. Adultery, well, if you even look at somebody with lust, that is a form of adultery, according to Jesus. And when we give things to God, we also have to think about not just that vertical relationship, but the horizontal relationship as we are giving to God. So Jesus takes the laws, which he understands, and he upgrades each of them, which leads us to the heart of the matter. Jesus deals with the heart condition, not just what is happening as the consequence of it. And so his teachings are not for lightweights. We know that. And in the next few passages that we're dealing with today, we're going to get a little more detail with this horizontal relationship that God talks about. And again, he is talking about Jewish law. You have heard it said that the punishment must match the injury. And we've all heard this phrase, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Well, they had heard it said. As a matter of fact, they had heard it said 3 different times in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Exodus, and in the book of Deuteronomy. They knew this particular law. It's in these places if you want to look it up. This is what is called proportional retaliation. Say that with me. Proportional retaliation. That's a form of law and justice. It is lex talionis, which is the law of talion, or retaliation. That's what they would have known it as. It is one of the most ancient ways of understanding laws, the most widespread even to today of laws, and it came even before the Jewish law code. It was in a thing called the Hammurabi law code for our historians among us. And the main purpose of this particular law was to curtail excessive retaliation. That meant to curtail one party from exacting revenge for something that was done to them by another party. So you want to have party B to have done to them what had party A. Now, there was a court involved. There was a nonpartisan arm of justice. You weren't just policing on your own. You weren't just taking justice in your own hand. Like, say, this person I'm going to read about from a Craigslist personal ad, back when they did personal ads on Craigslist. Think about this form of Lex Talionis, if you would. This was a guy who wrote in Craigslist to the guy who tried to mug me in downtown Savannah the night before last, okay? This is what he wrote. I was the guy wearing the Burberry jacket you demanded, and I handed over shortly after you pulled the knife on me and my girlfriend, threatening our lives. You also asked for my girlfriend's purse and earrings. First, I'd like to apologize, says this guy, for your embarrassment. I didn't expect you to actually soil your pants when I drew my pistol after you took my jacket. That evening was not cold, and I was wearing the jacket for a reason. My girlfriend had just bought me this gun for my birthday, and we had to pick up a shoulder holster for it that very evening. Obviously, you agree it is a very intimidating weapon when pointed at your head, isn't it? I know it probably wasn't fun walking back to wherever you came from. I'm sure it was even worse walking barefooted, since I made you leave your shoes, your cell phone, your wallet with me. That prevented you from calling or running to your buddies to come help mug us again. After I called your mother, or mama as you had her listed on your cell, and explained the entire episode, I told her what you had done. Then I went and filled up my gas tank as well as four other people's in the gas station on your credit card. The guy with the big motorhome took 150 gallons and was extremely grateful. I gave your shoes to a homeless guy outside of Vinnie Van's Go-Go, along with all the cash in your wallet that made his day. Then I threw your wallet into the big pink pimpmobile that was parked at the curb, after I broke their windshield and side window and keyed the entire driver's side of the car. On your cell phone, I managed to get in two threatening phone calls to the DA's office and one to the FBI, while mentioning the president as my possible target. The FBI guy was very intense, and we had a nice long chat. Well, I guess he traced your number. I feel this type of retribution is a far more appropriate punishment for your threatened crime. I wish you well as you try to sort out some of these rather immediate pressing issues, and can only hope that you have the opportunity to reflect upon and perhaps reconsider the career path that you have chosen to pursue in life. Remember, next time you may not be so lucky. Have a good day. Thoughtfully yours, Alex. This is crazy, right? And not at all, I'll tell you, how Jesus said to handle things. If we are honest, though, we get it, right? We get this idea of revenge and retaliation. It's the stuff of some of our favorite movie plots. Anybody here like the Taken series, where Liam Neeson plays that role with a lot of really good skills of the father who goes after the avenging of his kidnapped daughter and his wife? Or how do you like Jason Bourne? You know, the storyline of a guy who's likable even while he brings wrath to bear on the people who have ruined his life. In each of these cases, the character kind of gains strength from their anger at the injustice, and they get out to set revenge. And in the end, the villain is vanquished, justice is done, and then the credits will roll. I got to say that word right. Justice appeals to our sense of fairness and the idea that finally everyone gets what they deserve. One of the most popular film franchises is this these days. If you ever think about where the word Avenger comes from, it sound anything like revenge? The name was formulated from the word revenge, and we like these superheroes who have kind of this holy revenge. And spoiler alert, if you haven't figured this out, the Avenger Infinity Wars movie, not so much my favorite, because these guys didn't seem to pull it off in this last one. But these plots attract the human part of us, and we have a couple of psychologists in the room, they attract the part of us who are dealing with the emotion of embitterment. Do y'all know what embitterment is? It's that feeling that gets produced by being victimized, and it gets fueled with this desire to fight back. It's a feeling of helplessness that will cause us to even fantasize revenge or aggression. And it's why psychologically we like these revenge movies. It doesn't have to be as severe as some of the movies, but we do get the feeling. We get the feeling of wanting to get back at the idiot who cuts us off on the road, or to plot against a coworker who unjustly got us reprimanded, or feelings that are embittered in our life against our ex-spouse, or even a snappy comeback or a snarky comment that we can add to somebody who called us out on social media. You don't believe in embitterment? Check the Facebook page. But we can see how vigilante justice can easily go amok for us not so super folks like the guy on Craigslist. It's the thing that Jesus warns us against, this larger problem of feeling embitterment, is when it comes to embodiment. To actually embody these feelings, you know, some pretty bad decisions can get made, and in turn, can lead to our own self-destruction. And Scripture makes it clear throughout that true justice and true recompense is up to God anyway. Best leave it to God. It is never for us to settle. Now, certainly this is not apart from a system of justice that on its best days works very well to protect the innocent, right? But most societies, even with that, still have distorted human biases and systemic injustices. And we could talk about that for a long time today. And that's why Paul told the people in Rome, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, everybody say, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. By doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. This is what my mom used to call killing them with what? Yeah, you know how that works. And then there's the larger problem with Talion law, or lex talionis, and that is expressed by the main character in The Fiddler of the Roof. A man tells him, we should defend ourselves, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, to which Tevye says, very good, in that way, the whole world will be blind and toothless. Almost every day we're in situations where there are problems and we have no idea how to make them better. We can just agree with that. But Jesus also makes it pretty clear on how not to make them worse. For Jesus, it's not just about limiting revenge. He rejects any retaliatory violence. He wants us who are his disciples to reject our revenge fantasies in favor of redemption for both the offender and for us. I'm not saying it's right to let others steamroll you. I'm saying it's not good to let people take advantage of you. I'm not saying it's right that some people get the upper hand, but there is a way that Jesus gives teaching to his followers where we can know in our action that Jesus' way is the upper hand. It is the higher calling. It's the way that God believes we can all heal best, even within the evil that would otherwise cause it to continue to be perpetuated. You might have heard this conversation that Abraham Lincoln once had with one of his associates who didn't like the fact of how Abraham Lincoln dealt with his political enemies. The associate asked Lincoln, well, why do you always make friends of your political enemies? You should destroy them. And Lincoln replied, well, am I not destroying my enemies when I make them my friends? In this type of kingdom, Jesus teaches us that enemies are to be embraced and turned into friends. not rejected, and put to death. So here's what Jesus said again, a recap of what Randy read. Oops, I forgot about this one. Good old Mahatma Gandhi, an eye for an eye will only make the whole world blind. So this is what Jesus says in recap. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. By doing this, he says you will demonstrate that you are a follower of the Prince of Peace. If anybody wants to sue you and takes your shirt, give them your coat and your cloak as well. And show the world that you find your security in God, not in your material possessions. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second mile also. Reveal your generosity by offering them more than what they demand of you. Give to everyone who begs. Do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. Make a point of helping others as the Lord has helped you. Just because your preacher preaches this stuff doesn't mean she has all this down. Because as in every family, Bob and I have conversations, just like you do, about how to deal with folks who are either smacking us in the face, if not literally, spiritually. How it is we deal with people who make demands of us. How we even deal with family or friends who want to borrow from us, right? But this is what we see most clearly on the cross. Love your neighbor. Hate your enemy is what the law said, but I say love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When I have the children's message at the 11 o'clock hour, I'm going to talk about the Avengers and what their superhero tools are. You know what your superhuman tool is as a Christian? Prayer. Don't let anybody tell you it's not the largest weapon for love our world has. We can see this love most clearly on the cross. A famous preacher, Dwight Moody, put it this way. He says, I can imagine Jesus on the cross saying, go search out the man who put the crown of thorns on my brow and tell him I have a crown for him in my kingdom, if he will accept salvation and there will not be a thorn on it. Jesus would say, find the man who smote the reed in my head, driving the thorns deeper in my brow. Tell him, I will give him a scepter. And then go and seek out that poor soldier who drove the spear in my side. Tell him there is a nearer way to my heart than this. You may think you cannot respond to situations in this day, but I imagine that I could hear one or two or 10 or maybe even 20 stories in your own life of where forgiveness and love has won the day. Because Jesus also gave these words in this sermon. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. I don't know how he could say that, except for the fact that he also saw that in the law, 3 times in the law. It says, be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy. It says it in Leviticus 3 times. These are words of God telling his people that you can be perfect. That's the way it gets translated in the New Testament. You can practice this law of love. You can grow in spiritual maturity until you, in fact, start to look an awful lot like me. Maybe you're thinking of a difficult situation or a scenario or a challenging relationship this morning, some area of conflict in your life. A good question to ask yourself is, can you take Jesus at his word? Do you believe that the power of God in Christ is strong enough in you that you can respond in love? I'm going to ask us to take part in this particular prayer today as we think of those situations, not only in our lives, but the lives of those we love. I'll do the leader, and if you'll do the people, and let us be giving this to God in prayer. Holy God, we pray for all those who seek reconciliation. with a family member, a friend, a coworker, and any we would name before you now, aloud or silently. Would you, God of hope, hear our prayer? Loving God, we pray for those ill in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we name before you now, aloud or silently. Merciful God, we pray for all those living in anger and naming those things that make us angry before you now, aloud or silently. May the anger be released. Holy God, we lift all the concerns of our hearts and minds and ask you to renew, strengthen, and restore us. We pray in the name of your Son, our Lord. Amen.